Because for me, I would just woo all the boys to Ten Hearts, decide I didn't want to marry them, and just live alone with baller status in my farm. So
it's literally the real world. She's getting 10 hearts across the board.
Bobby decided, can't get one girl to 3 hearts.
Decide to live alone. Bobby can't get more than 3 hearts.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode here with the usual crew. We got myself, Robert Digital, Chad.
Yo.
Emilio.
Hey.
And Chi.
Hi.
All right. All back in AM Studios, ready to talk about some computer games. Just a quick reminder, we did put out our episode for the DL Game Club to seed that with Lab Monkey. So be sure to pick up your copy of Bioshock and be a part of that conversation at the end of this month. I cannot wait to talk about this. I'm taking all sorts of notes.
Yep. I have not bought it yet, but it will be bought this week.
Don't buy it. Just play it off my account.
Oh, I've already downloaded it off your account.
Oh, okay.
So I've downloaded it. I'm ready to go. I was gone this weekend, but I will be playing this week.
I am playing it by proxy. Sam's going to play it. I'm coaching her through it. She gets motion sick. So
Sam is his girl, by the way, for new listeners.
She can only play it like an hour at a time. Lab Monkey said that you could fuck with the FOV because even he was getting nauseous at it. There's no native support for FOV, so... it must be some sort of mod, so I got to talk to Lab Monkey about that.
Yeah, and I actually went out and bought a controller to get that good old console feel to cool. play Bioshock once again.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. We don't want to say too much about that. We'll save that for the Game Club episode. Also, new review up on our website. Team Tom did a review of Stardew Valley, and you guys know how I feel about that game.
Yeah, you love it.
He's got Team Tom has his own system of rating games. Like he does a very detailed explanation, gives a lot of great opinions, and then at the end he just says, "Bottom line, you know, here are the number ratings," and it rated pretty high on him. So check that out on our website, dlgaming.net.
What would you rate your level of addiction if you were gonna say, you know, anywhere from heroin to masturbation? Like where?
Wait, heroin's the low one, and masturbation's up. Wow, that's a fucked up scale.
Nice to know more about you, Bobby.
If you don't both at twice, heroination is fucking
heroination.
That's the herbation. Next level. Don't get addicted to that.
Is there a World of Warcraft level?
Yeah, that's way above masturbation.
Now you're talking about religion.
Us getting into a rocket ship and flying.
Wow, circa 2007.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
We were all addicted at some point, right, to WoW?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
You too?
Oh, poorly. Terrible.
Oh, that's right.
The entire
you got laid off of it.
Huh?
You got laid for the
I got laid off the first time because of my World of Warcraft boyfriend.
Yeah, of course.
And failed a class, multiple classes, grades because of it, too.
Prevented myself from getting laid multiple times using World of Warcraft, so it's kind of the same thing.
I'm curious, though, Bobby, how much do you love Stardew?
Stardew? A whole lot, but I'll talk more about Stardew a little later, but it fits my life in a very specific way.
Okay. In a very vicarious, if I were a farmer boy, way.
Yeah. More on that later. It's like the news. I'm just going to tell you this like really vague, intriguing thing and then say like more on that at 11.
Tonight, death. Lots and lots of death. Stay tuned.
It's like the old Simpsons joke. I think it was Simpsons. They're like, a household product that could kill you. Tonight at 11.
Yeah. Meanwhile, 50 people died because they didn't get the news.
All right. So we're going to start off with Question the News, which is...
Explain it to Chi and our new listeners what we do.
Yep. That's what I was just about to do.
Okay, cool.
This is where we take a news article. We kind of explain it a little bit. And then we have a question relating to the news article that we ask the rest of the people. So who would like to go first?
Let's do them as is.
Yeah. All right. Well, that would be my article first. There was a few articles out there. The one I read was on Ars Technica, a great site for hardware, about the Oculus Rift and their privacy policy in the EULA. And that was regarding just how invasive the data was that they, that Facebook and the owners of the Oculus collect on people. Like, it was pretty ridiculous. And some people,
like, worse than Windows 10.
Yeah,
Windows 10 had the same kind of concerns or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a lot of similarities to Windows 10. But on top of that, they were like, they are tracking the things that you look at, like where you're looking, because, you know, the Oculus can track motion as well. So they know where you're looking, what you're looking at, how much you're looking, like things about you. And it's all for marketing purposes, obviously. But people got really upset. So knowing that, I mean, privacy is always a big issue, especially as it as all these devices come out. Does that change your opinion on purchasing this device?
Emil, you want to jump in first, or Chi?
Well, I feel like for that, as a woman, if I had a husband with an Oculus Rift, if I could actually dig into his browsing history. So there's no incognito window for the Oculus
Rift. And is it even shared publicly?
I don't have too much comment on that one there.
Honestly, could they really be taking that I'd be so offended by? Like, Bobby, is there something that when you were going down the list, like, you were like, wow, this is a little too much?
Well, there's already virtual porn, right? Pornhub already has
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're ahead of the curve.
And it's not like they're trying to get any dirt on anybody. I mean, this is all for purely marketing purposes. This is so they can see, okay, you're into that, and then they could suggest something that you buy.
Like ad targeting.
Yeah.
Targeting
advertisement. And of course, they share this with other advertising companies. I mean, it's the same old story, but now it applies to the Oculus, and it's just kind of a little more extensive in this case because the Oculus does so much more.
I've always been, okay, so we live in a world of advertisements. If I'm going to get advertisement, I would rather them be targeted for something I might buy than tampons. You know, I want them to know who they are. If I'm going to see ads, first, I'd rather not see ads. Second, if I have to see ads, I'd rather them be targeted to me.
Wait.
Chad's the opposite. Chad fucking shuts down all ads on all websites it affects your web browsing experience.
Well, I use like NoScript and stuff like that to make sure like I know exactly where my website's going, because that's more for viruses. I don't want to like get viruses and stuff like
that.
Nobody
gets viruses, dude.
You probably have 800 viruses on your computer.
No, dude.
If it was a human, it would get shot right now. Like, literally, it would die. But when I got Windows 10, I told myself, I was going to shut down all these ways to get my information. I was going to look it up and all. And I never ended up doing it. Like, it doesn't
matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Except for there's an upside. Okay, you got an operating system for free. How about you participate a little bit?
Yeah, I mean that was definitely one of my thought process. Right. Okay, they're giving it to me for free, and all they're asking for is some information. Like, I'm okay with that.
And it's metadata too.
But here's my deal. I just want people to be a little more honest in this day and age. Everybody's got to fucking lie all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be honest with our politics, our government, our fucking businesses. Like, just tell us, hey, we're gonna take this stuff for you, and here's why we're gonna do it. And agreed with it or not, but at least be straightforward with us. That's all I want. Yeah. I want you guys to be straightforward and honest with us. Why do we have to look at 14 news articles to get honesty on what Oculus is doing?
Well, I mean, I think they are being straightforward with it. It's in the EULA, the End User License Agreement. The thing is, those things are 15 pages long.
Yeah. But they can't do that in plain English because of the...
It's got to hold up in legal court.
Yeah, exactly.
These things have to be that long. We always complain about how verbose they are, but there's really no other option.
But I really love when there's a plain English version of every paragraph right above. Hey, this is just so we know that blah, blah, blah. You know, when it's dumbed down to one sentence, this whole big paragraph, and they're talking to you frankly, I really appreciate that all the time because nobody's going to read all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got shit to do.
At the end of the day, if I get Oculus, I probably won't have a huge deal with it. You know, I feel like Windows 10 is already has me down to my underwear size, so absolutely. Might as well just fucking go with it.
Do you guys know about Google Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how convenient that app is.
Yeah.
But I feel like the more they know about you, the more they can help you out, really. Yeah. Like, not sure if you guys have ever used Google Now, but it's an app that basically tracks all your meetings, your parking location, like down to the very nitty gritty. I got drunk at Pacific Beach one night, literally
like you do,
completely forgot where I parked my car, but my GPS system tracked exactly where I parked my car. Cool. Yeah. And it, my cell phone saved, like my Android saved my life. Yeah. I actually was able to find my car and drunkenly drive home. So yeah. <That's> I'm just
kidding. Now you got a Dewey instead of, yeah.
Thanks I mean, for saving me, letting me endanger myself once again.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a trade-off, and that's kind of what happened to me on my way over here. Like, I have plugged the address of our new studio into my phone so many times, and I was like, digging through my phone, like, God, I know I saved it. I know I saved it. Like, maybe it just remembered it. And it's like, no, I got all my privacy settings, my Google Now. I've got that stuff turned off. So I had to text Amelia. I'm like, how the fuck do I get here again? Third time in a row.
So what have we learned here today? Whore yourself out and get,
well, I mean, I think there's
and reap all the whorish benefits.
Yeah. I think what it comes down to is nobody is safeguarding us on our data. Nobody, I feel like I'm not being protected at all.
None of us are an ISIS cell. Who cares?
I think it's we are at the tip of a very big iceberg, and they are collecting data now that you say I don't care about, but later on you might really care about some of this stuff. So, like, I think moving forward in the next couple of years, there's going to be more and more of this stuff, and it's going to get more and more invasive.
I'm 37. There's not that much more later on.
Yeah, that's true. You're about 5 years from death, so. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it sounds like this is not detracting anyone from buying an Oculus. And
the price is detracting me from Oculus now, more than this is.
Man, this question in news really gets us going.
Every time this comes up, I just think of Minority Report. There's a one scene where he walks into the Gap in Minority Report, and it scans his eye reticles, and the, like, virtual reality, like, sales assistant's like, welcome back, Mr. Whatever. How did you like that turtleneck you bought last week? Uh-huh. Like, you know, that sort of thing.
That's impressive, yeah.
So, we're going to get that quicker than you think.
Oh, way quicker. Yeah. It's right around the corner.
Everything's going to ask for a 5-star review.
Yeah.
As a pop-up.
But hopefully related to this, because, you know, I just recently had to change my credit card. Identity theft is becoming more and more prevalent. Hopefully with more of this stuff, there could be a benefit that they can be more knowledgeable about you and make sure what you do is correct and help prevent identity theft.
Although, has everybody here had their identity?
I have.
I had, like, pretty much everybody, right?
Well, mine wasn't identity theft. Somebody had my credit card number, and so it was canceled, and I got a new.
Well, that's what my level was, too. But
I don't consider that.
It happens so
theft.
Much that it just. They're so used to doing it, you're resolved within an hour, usually.
Honestly, it's just like customer service. Yeah. I've had everything stolen from me. You know, I don't even,
soul.
Like purses.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Wow. That's right. One of the first things. But no, like purses, electronics, my car, and even my identity. My social security number has been jeopardized in the past. And it was, like, theft to me at this point, it's just another nuisance, but there are stages to recovering and to handling it properly.
Oh, it's a hassle for sure. But not that big of a hassle these days.
Yeah.
Just because it happens so much.
Absolutely.
All right. So the next thing is DeepMind, which is, oh man, am I going to fuck this up? I'm pretty sure it's Google's, like, AI. I'm pretty sure it's Google.
Not IBM, because that's name? Watson.
Watson, yeah. So I think this is Google's. So
it's their big supercomputer.
Their big supercomputer / AI, whatever.
The one that's soon going to be running our entire lives.
Yeah, it made already is. Gee, it drove her home the other day.
When it can actually drive me home, then I will be very impressed.
Yeah.
Because I can be smashed in PV and just tell my car to drive me home and tuck me into bed.
So it really made waves about, I want to say, 3-4 weeks ago, where it beat the grand champion at Go.
Oh, nice.
And Go is much more, many levels of magnitude more complex than chess is. You know, Deep Blue beat a chess master, what was that?
In the 80s or
90s? 20 years ago. Wow. And that was a big thing. But Go is many, many levels more complex. DeepMind just did that. So what's next? What are they looking at? And this is
Another related article about an AI. There's a competition for AI created literature, and the first time ever that an AI created literature was actually accepted, the first of three stages in this competition, from what I understand. So the AI is getting better.
And it's writing. I watched this TED Talk where AI wrote poems, and they asked everybody to see, you know, compare this famous poem to this, and which one is the AI, and it was like 50-50. Nobody could...
Really?
It's really good. But anyway.
Just related to that, when you get spam, at least this was a couple years ago, it kind of was like poems, but it was just random words.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I always thought those were poems and would try to put them into, like, haiku form. Right.
Yeah, but mine will say,
get bigger.
Yeah, get big.
Viagra.
Dick. Yeah. But anyway, so let me get to the point. So what's next after Go? What's more complex than Go?
Are we talking about CS Go?
No. This is Go with the black and white.
It's like an Asian chess.
Okay.
Like Asian checkers.
You never played Go?
The one with the stars?
No, never played Go.
So Go has like pieces of black and white, and when you put two of your color, you get to flip. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
The intelligent people here know what you're talking about.
Explain Mahjong for everyone.
Yeah.
So what's next? It's Magic the Gathering and Hearthstone.
You went to Magic the Gathering?
Not me.
Really?
They are. They're scanning all the intricacies of all this, which is so many more levels above Go. Like, there's so many interactions between so many cards.
Chi, have you ever played Magic the Gathering?
Never played Magic the Gathering.
Hearthstone? Have you played Hearthstone?
I have played Hearthstone. I have played other card games.
Bobby, have you played Magic?
Magic the Gathering? No.
Okay. I do play Star Wars.
Yeah, I played the Star Wars version of it back in the day.
Wow. That's a level of nerd above my level of nerd.
Yep.
You out-nerded me right there. That's cool.
So yeah, now it's learning that. And so inevitably, I mean, it's inevitable that there's going to be... Is it okay that an AI is the grand champion? Or are they not allowed into tournaments? Or what goes on there? Like...
So are we getting into robot rights here? Is that where this is heading?
Is this your question in news? What's the question that's actually coming out of this?
My question is...
Okay. Okay.
No, are we going to have to be worried about playing against bots in, like, competitive scenes? And because people play... And not directly for money on Magic the Gathering, but money is involved because you play for cards.
Speaking as a spectator or from like an esports angle, I don't think it's very entertaining to watch people play against AI or computers.
Yeah.
I think the person versus person aspect is just key to that.
What if you don't know though? What if you enter a draft and you paid $17 to get into that draft and you're unknowingly playing against a bot? This is probably 2 years away. If the top computer is doing it right now, then 3-5 years from now, the average computer will be able to do it.
So basically you're saying it's pretending like it's multiplayer, but it's actually single player potentially. And I think that's a very cool idea. Like if I can get this multiplayer experience from a single player, perspective, I'm all for that. Like I
think my question is not getting landed here. I'm saying, are people going to be using programs like these that they're developing
to win
money against humans? And I mean, what can you do to prevent that? Like, what's gonna that's like a real concern.
I don't know how you would do that though. I mean, if you watch like a Hearthstone tournament, it's like they're gonna notice if there's a robot sitting in there.
I mean, is that Nintendo the robot? I mean, all he's doing is moving
those discs, spinning discs. The top or whatever.
Yeah.
That would be funny though. I don't know.
How ahead of the game was Nintendo, by the way?
I think if enough money's involved, like, people are aware that it's a person. You know what I mean? So, I don't really have a concern here. Until I see something that really would cause me to say, well, wait a second. I don't really see this as an issue moving forward.
I think it's going to be an issue.
All right. I guess I'm going next. This one's going to be a quick one. Nosgoth, which was a first-person 4-up before competitive shooter based around werewolves and vampires.
I never played it, but it was isometric. Right? Not isometric. I was where the two sides aren't the same. What is that called?
Asymmetric.
Asymmetric.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically versus mode from Left 4 Dead 2, or Left 4 Dead 1, for that matter. But, yeah, it borrowed a lot from that game. You had different vampires that you could play as, and then different humans, and then
weren't there werewolves involved too?
There might have been kind of a werewolf character. There were monsters and humans.
We played during beta. I did, at least.
Well, the big difference between this and Left 4 Dead was Left 4 Dead, you were trying to get from point A to point B. And this one is just straight up versus you're just trying to kill each other. But they did borrow a lot from that.
So it was a lot of fun. Anyways, they're shutting down. I don't know if they actually got out of beta. Like, it seemed like it was riddled with just issues.
Did you guys pay to get into the beta?
No. I never paid money for Nosgoth.
Because what I hope on things like this... Things that weren't bad, but were short-lived. I just hope they made their money back. Or at least...
Well, the developers we did find out were Psyonix, the guys who did Rocket League. So I think they're doing all
right.
They're
going to be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're shutting it down. It's like, they're too busy in their hot tubs in the back of their limos.
Well, it's kind of like Hi-Rez. You know, they tried Global Agenda, and then Smite came out, and they're like, well, see ya, Global Agenda.
Yeah. So anyways, Nosgoth is shutting down, what was it, May 31st, April 31st?
May 31st.
Okay, how long has it been out?
I think that I played this like 2 years ago.
A year and a half?
2 years ago, something like that?
Between a year and a 2 years, yeah.
So my question is, this thing's shutting down. If you could reopen one server from a game you've played in the past... And it goes back to popularity. Which one would you pick?
Well, that's an easy one for me.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because the first one that I thought of might still be open. I just haven't. Is EverQuest still live?
Yeah.
EverQuest 1 is still live?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Remember, we just talked about this.
I know.
This expansion.
No, but it was like re...
No, that was coming out from Daybreak or whatever. Dawnbreak?
But they wanted $99 to start it on that. All right, let me think about it. I don't know. You guys know.
I actually have a good answer for this. I just hope I'm correct in the title of the game. It would be a PlayStation 2 Resident Evil multiplayer title.
Okay.
You know, I could go with your standard MMO private server, you know, like reopen things. But this one was the first time I've ever experienced multiplayer through Resident Evil. And I'm not sure what the name of it was called, but I think it was called Resident Evil Outbreak.
Okay, something like
that. Have you guys played that or heard about it?
I never played it. I remember the
name.
It wasn't a standard side-by-side co-op Resident Evil game, which we've tried out, dabbled around, like Resident Evil 6 and and 5. It was one where you would be thrown into a map where nobody ended up in the same starting point. So there was no lobby. There was no way to communicate other than a couple of... you know, phrases that you can say through the directional buttons.
Gotcha.
But you had to find each other, and you would.
So that's like DayZ style, right?
Yeah, it was DayZ, but it wasn't versus. So you actually, it was a survival game where you would have to make it out of where you were trapped.
Finding each other is super important.
Though. Yeah, and finding each other is vital, and you could die before ever coming across somebody. You wouldn't know if somebody's still alive or dead, or you wouldn't know if you were completely alone. There was no voiceover, but when you encountered somebody, the game was extremely difficult. It was just like playing single player Resident Evil. And, but you actually relied on each other because you had certain responsibilities to help out another person in order for them to advance. Mm. So it was, definitely a multiplayer game that if you didn't know what you were fucking doing, you were either dead and screwed or,
honestly, or running around that in motherfucker circles. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. It was one of my first experiences on multiplayer, outside of, you know, your PC multiplayer gaming. And it was a lot of fun just because how limited you were and how reliant you were on, people, you know, in the game. So it was fun.
Every time, like, we play a multiplayer game together that's co-op and Chad dies, I'm like, thank God we don't have to carry that motherfucker anymore.
Wait, hold on.
Bobby, what do you got?
A lot of times I'm carrying this guy, by the way. What was the game isometrically that we just played that had the four different versions? Like, it just came out in open alpha recently. Reactor.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yes.
Drag this guy by his fucking dick all the way to this.
He was about 200 times better than I was. 200 times.
All right, Bobby, you had an answer. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this game is dead or if the servers are still active, but no one's playing it. But my game that I would definitely bring back would be Super Monday Night Combat.
Dude, that's my answer.
Man.
Yeah, I figured that'd be your answer too. Yeah. Maybe we could just get a bunch of hyper intelligent robots to pretend to be people and play that game. Yeah, that worked for me too. But that's the first MOBA I ever played. Really, really enjoyed that game. But
the way ahead of its time, too far ahead of its time.
Well, you know, I went back and played it even with, like, you know, at the time we were playing it, there was a player base of about 700, which is not enough for a game like that.
And it was 5v5, right?
Yeah, it was 5v5, and they made a lot of mistakes that newer MOBAs don't allow you to make. Like, you can just leave the match without penalties. The match continues on 4v5.
That's the worst.
When you select characters, multiple people can select the same character, but whoever locks in the first gets it. They just didn't have a very good system for doing that. There are a few fundamental issues with that would later be improved upon, but that game was just great. That had, not only was it fun to play mechanically, but the game had a lot of personality with the announcers. And that, I mean, it's never been higher for me than that game right there.
Bobby, we've talked about the announcers so much on that. Maybe we could do, I don't know how you can get those audio clips, but if you could do like best of those guys.
There's got to be, it's either on YouTube or, you know what, if I install the game, there's a way to pull audio files out of the game too.
There was like a straight man, like a color guy. And the street man was like, it was all business until like he'd talk about his ex-wife and shit and get sad. Cause there was this,
that's awesome.
There was this cannon called Shelly, cause it shells people.
Okay.
Oh, there goes Shelly. She's destroying everybody's world. Kind of reminds me of my ex-wife.
That's funny.
Well, awesome. In commentating, you have your play-by-play guy, and then you have your
color.
What they call the color guy, which is the guy that kind of makes it all showy or like says something real big for a second, but really doesn't have the staying power as the other one. So they had that. They had a really good back and forth, and they would comment on things you would do in the game. So you were playing a game, but it really was like you were an athlete in a match, and it was perfect. Like, I can't believe that hasn't been redone in some other game.
Yeah,
you need to do.
There's a lot of competition.
You need to do the cheese vendor equivalent.
Yeah, cheese vendor version two.
But somehow get those audio files without playing the game.
Cool. Let's talk about games then.
All right,
let's finally get into games.
Well, let's see here. We're going to start with Enter the Gungeon.
Yeah,
so, a ton of people are streaming this game. By the way,
this is huge.
So, you know, I watched League of Legends streams.
Right.
So, if in between matches while they're waiting for the queue, they're either playing Stardew Valley or Enter the Gungeon. That's all I'm seeing on all
who's
my,
they?
Just whatever Twitch stream.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so this was big.
Yeah, so it's a top-down roguelike twin-stick shooter. I bring one up probably every week, and, you know, they all fall short of Binding of Isaac, and this one doesn't. This is the next Binding of Isaac. I'm not saying it's better, but it's got everything going for it. I can't compare it to Binding of Isaac because they're just different. This is more, it's got a lot of character, a lot of charm, very funny. The descriptions of the guns. It's very rare that Chad will actually sit and read the description of the guns, but you were because they were pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I got the Proton Pack. Left by four inspectors that thought something weird was going on in the neighborhood. Like, oh, it's fucking killer gun.
It's very witty.
Last week I said that they have millions of guns. They definitely don't have millions. There's probably maybe 100 or so. But you don't unlock things like in Binding of Isaac where it's just random or you do something to trigger it. The entire time you're playing, you're unlocking this like other currency, this like special currency, and then there's a special store you go and you unlock things.
It's shells. The currency is shells because you're using guns and then the expelled shells, the casings. That's your currency.
That's the currency at the store, at the shop.
I thought that's what you're doing.
No. Remember when you beat a boss, you get two of the special currency? That's how you unlock things.
Gotcha.
So it's better than Binding of Isaac in that sense where the unlocks aren't triggered by things that you don't even know.
Gotcha.
You can actually unlock things that, you read the five names and like, well, this one sounds good. I'll unlock this one. But it doesn't mean you're going to get it. It just means it's in the mix now.
Gotcha.
Roguelike, everybody knows what roguelike. I'm not going to explain that. So it's you have Dodge Roll in this, and the actually the name of the company is Dodge Roll that put this together.
They did the Dodge Roll perfect.
That's what I got to say. Everything in this game is super satisfying. Shooting is super satisfying. The Dodge Roll just feels amazing. You feel like your character's actually leaping at the last second to hit that volleyball or whatever it is. Like, it really feels satisfying. And it has to, because you do it 10 million times, because you're invincible for like half a second when you do it. Bunch of modifiers.
Let me talk about Dodge Roll real quick. Because, so, what annoys me is when you do an action and then there's some internal cooldown before you can do it again, but it's not displayed on your character. You know what I mean? Like, so
right.
So you have to pay attention to something
else. It's just
arbitrary.
Yeah.
That's the dodge roll is done perfectly because when you're in the air, you're invincible.
Right.
But as soon as you hit the ground and you do your roll, you can get hit.
And that you're very vulnerable.
And you're very vulnerable.
Yeah.
But then when you get up, you can immediately do it again.
Yeah.
So it's got its internal clock.
It's in the
but it's set up
animations.
Through the animations.
You can see in your animation, there's no timer like to tell you when you can dodge roll again.
Exactly.
Or
you can just see on your character.
Yeah,
I can dodge roll because he's moving around.
Right.
You know, so I really appreciate that because honestly, I can only look at one thing at a time, which is why I suck at MOBAs, because you're looking at your character, but you also have to look at the mini map.
Right.
And I can't. I struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I can just look at my character and say, oh, okay, I can dodge roll because he's moving, or I can't because he's in the middle of a dodge roll.
Right, you know exactly. What I mean? Mm-hmm. No, totally. So nailed the dodge roll, we could say that.
Yeah.
The boss fights are super fun. Every boss fight that I've seen is pretty cool. I wouldn't say they're original, but they're just so goddamn charming. I don't know how I'm using that word so much lately, but literally, I'm like...
The best part of it is the enemies, because almost all your enemies are... They're all funny because they're all bullets. You're fighting against bullets.
You're in the gungeon. Oh, Chad, yeah, you don't know this. So anything that you bring into the gungeon that's gun-shaped turns into a gun. So there's a mailbox gun.
Okay.
Because it's roughly shaped.
Yeah.
So like everything becomes gun. So mostly you're killing bullets.
And so it'll be like a bullet. But based on its shape, it'll be like a shotgun shell. So you know it's going to shoot shotgun-style bullets.
Right.
Because it's a shot. Or it looks like a sniper bullet.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to be a it's just funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
It almost feels not like Sesame Street, but it feels like they're kind of caricatures and you're shooting these kind of caricatures. So it has a lightheartedness involved in it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So what I would end this on is, you know how much I love Binding of Isaac. If you feel like you're way behind Binding of Isaac, like it's too late to jump in, now's the perfect time to jump into Enter the Gungeon, because it's new and there's not a whole lot that people know. There's some secret stuff going on.
Yeah, that was cool too.
Yeah, there's some secret stuff. And it's a lot like Spelunky as well, where if you do enough things, you'll be able to bypass the first floor and go down to the second. Oh, gotta say this. In so many because you're going through a dungeon, or gungeon, if you will. So much time, so many times, you'll be in this corner, the right-hand corner, and you have to leave out of the left-hand corner, but you wanted to clear the whole thing.
I watch you do that in Binding of Isaac all the time.
All the time.
You're running around to get to that one room that was open, and I gotta watch you.
10% of my Binding of Isaac playing is walking back to where I need to go after exploring.
Yeah.
This has teleportation on rooms that you already cleared.
But the best part is, you don't have to be on a teleporter.
No, you can teleport anytime.
Two teleporters, which is nice. So at any point, if you're not fighting enemies,
you
can just bring up the map, teleport to somewhere, and be there.
It just cuts out so much of the bullshit on a roguelike. So, highly recommend. One of my favorite games this year.
So it's $13.49 right now, regularly priced.
Those sons of bitches... They kept the sale on after the pre-sale. God, that ruined my whole day.
So, both of us highly recommend. We played co-op together.
Yeah, which was local co-op only, by the way.
Which is kind of weird. Remember trial with local co-op.
So, there's different characters you can pick, which you can do in Binding of Isaac as well. But the co-op character can only be one character. And he's just kind of like this kid that everybody calls him a kid. And he's like a second class citizen. Nobody will talk to him.
He can't buy shit at the store. I go to the store. He's like, I don't want to talk to you. And get out of here. He's got to talk to
me. Get out of here, player two.
Yeah. Get out of here, player two. Exactly. And fuck you, player two.
Remember when we first started, we did co-op right off the bat and we couldn't advance. The dude was like, hey, talk to the other guy if you want to.
I wasn't going to bring that up because how embarrassing it was. It took us 6 minutes to start playing this game.
Longer than 6 minutes.
Figure out how to play this game.
There's another game that did that too. I can't remember the name, but it was like, if you were the second player and you tried to like talk to a shopkeeper to upgrade your weapons, they would like talk down to you. Be like, oh no, go get the important guy. Like literally the dialogue was something like that.
Oh, it's Divinity.
Was it Divinity?
Yeah. If you play as one of those proxy characters that they give you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. See, I felt like I would have remembered if it was Divinity.
They won't talk to you.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When you start off, you can do the tutorial. You have to talk to a certain guy to do the tutorial. But the dude doing the tutorial won't even initiate the tutorial unless you kick the co-op guy out. You have to do the tutorial single player. But it doesn't tell you, hey, you can't do this co-op. So we're all wandering around.
What the fuck do we do?
Like, we're like, what's going on? We can't advance here. All the doors are shut. And finally, we're like, let's just, you just try it single player. And finally, they just let us through. And
yeah,
we're
the
like,
door
oh,
was
okay.
unlocked when he wasn't there, so. We, you know.
Yeah, so I love this game. This game was a blast. It's nice because you
pixelated art, but it's really well done. Beautiful.
Binding of Isaac, you get four directions.
Yeah,
and this,
you have eight directions.
But we were playing two controllers, and I'm watching a lot of streamers.
Way better on the keyboard.
They're doing mouse and keyboard, and you don't get a reticle if you're doing controller.
Yeah.
But with the keyboard with the mouse, you get a reticle.
Infinitely better.
Which I imagine would be a lot better.
But here's the thing. You're playing co-op, it's more fun because you're playing co-op.
Yeah.
So I'd rather play co-op on two controllers than mouse, keyboard, and somebody on controller.
Yeah.
That actually does sound like a lot of fun. So
you should try it.
Yeah. Especially local co-op.
Sammy,
local
you tried it.
You should do that.
Sammy, you tried it and it was just way complicated, right?
It was really hard. It reminded me of Nuclear Throne as well.
Yeah, it's very close to Nuclear
and
Throne,
Spelunky
but much better.
Mixed together.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was really difficult and I get really frustrated because Emilio's really pushy. And he thinks I'm really good, which, no, I'm not. Especially on a new game.
She beat Super Saiyan on Binding of Isaac today. I watched her do it.
That's awesome.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
That was
Super
nice.
Satan.
Yeah. Super Satan. Not just normal Satan.
Super Satan.
And then the next level.
Actually, I think it's Mega Satan.
I think it is Mega Satan.
Mega Satan is
Hitler Satan is next, right?
Oh, yeah,
like after Mega Satan?
Yeah.
Okay.
You fight him in the South Park Stick of Truth.
Do you?
Some sort of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, don't you fight, like, some Hitler guy and also in Broforce? Don't you get, like...
Yeah, it's, like, some sort of Satan. It's like, yeah, maybe Hitler Satan.
Something like
you
that.
You might get it. Broforce is so fun.
But, yeah. All right, what else we got?
So we talked a little bit about the Oculus Rift earlier, but it is officially out along with the Vive, and Steam is just, like, advertising the hell out of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that has just been the front page for days now.
Why wouldn't they? And not just that, but my when you click through your games for them, what is that called? What is that called?
The queue.
Mm-hmm. When you go through your queue, probably 8 out of 10 of my games were all VR games. I wanted to check them out. So
did you put the Vive on your wish list? Maybe that was why.
Mm.
Well, we've talked a lot about this stuff already, but what are you guys thinking as far as purchasing? Has anybody committed to buying one yet? I mean, $600 for the Rift, $800 for the Vive.
Well, let's also say that PC Gamer reviewed both of them, and they gave the Oculus a 76 and the Vive an 85. You know,
as far as the pure VR, which one's better? Because I know Vive's got a lot of shit you can set up in the room,
right,
and you can do jumping jacks and shit.
So,
but what?
Pretty much, I think what everybody agrees on is Vive can do everything Oculus can't. Oculus can't do everything Vive does.
So, as far as the pure,
I think
VR, they're similar,
except for the Oculus might be a little less comfortable, a little bit. Some people have said it's a little less comfortable.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it.
Are you
interested in VR?
I am actually one of the few people that probably isn't interested in VR.
You can't Twitch stream with VR.
Yeah,
it's not just that. I have been so comfortable with just the idea of, you know, controller or mouse and keyboard in hand and a screen. Mm-hmm. That is all I know of a gaming experience. I'm sure if I tested out the Oculus Rift or any virtual reality. I think it would be interesting, but one of my favorite elements of gaming is the level of challenge. I feel like with virtual reality, the type of games that are offered with it, I imagine with the mechanics of virtual VR, it wouldn't be the type of game play that I, like, you know, I value. Or
I had never even thought about that. Mm-hmm. And you're totally right. I can't see that.
It'd be like a casual gamer kind of
thing. I can't. Exactly. All the games are going to be casual.
Yeah. It's I never really thought about that. It's like, hey, I mean, like, the Wii,
because it's so things. Like wishy-washy what you're, okay, I threw an arrow, but how precise is that arrow going to have to be? Yeah. They're all going to be kiddie games, right? Well, at least for now.
For now, yeah.
And all the games do seem a little gimmicky like that, too. The one thing that really caught my eye when they were demoing a lot of stuff was the, I don't even know what you would call it. It's not a game, but someone was watching a Dota 2 tournament, and the layout was just incredible. It was like looking at a board game, and you can go to any part of the map that you wanted to. You could see the different characters, pull up any stats that you wanted to. I thought that was cool, but that's just like watching a movie on this thing.
Kind of like when the Star Wars guys are planning their attack, and there's like
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like a 3D map. Mm-hmm. But now that these things are out, you know, of course, all these reviews and everything else is coming out. And from a hardware perspective, they're having trouble frame rating these things, like figuring out how they can judge things on performance and how that measures up with what hardware you have. Because you have all your standard tools for benchmarking, like a video card
and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's all, you know, pretty much standardized at this point. But now, these VR kits, they work in an entirely different way, and they can't use the same tools. So they're trying to figure out, how do we benchmark these?
Are they plugged in? It's plugged into your graphics card, though, right?
Yeah, it is. But
directly,
I think so.
It gets very technical. Okay. I listened to a whole explanation on it, and so I kind of understand it, but not well enough to explain it.
I must say that I saw like unboxing of both, and it's both of them are impressive. Like the Oculus comes in a very nice package, and it's very nicely, the user experience is what people call it. You know, when you buy something, you want to feel good about it. They both look top notch. It's not like you're going to get your Oculus
enough. Well, you're spending enough money.
Absolutely.
Splurge a little bit on
that. I don't know if it was the official
one. A nice box and a hand job.
I saw the Vive. Yeah, exactly. Oh, there's a hand job in this watch. That's fantastic. the Vive unboxing looked like it came in an ammo crate. Like, it was like 4 feet wide. I don't know if that's the official one, and that's how it goes. And like 2 feet deep. I was like, what the fuck is that thing?
Right.
Yeah. There's either the alien pulse rifle in there, or my Oculus, my Vive.
All right. So straight up, anybody planning to buy either one of these?
As soon as I have
$800.
$800. I don't care if I got
disposable income.
No. I don't care about... okay. Yeah, if I got to pay you rent,
the very next 800, yeah. Are you going with the Rift or the Vive, though?
He's a Vive. Hardcore.
Oh, okay.
The Vive takes so much more room, but eventually I will get one of these.
I don't know. You say that, Bobby, but people say if you have an office, I feel like I have enough room. You definitely have an office, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably make it work, but I'd have to push things out of the way, and I don't know if it's... And then it gets really gimmicky at that point. It gets really like, this is just something I want to show off to someone who came over. You know, it's not like I'm going to be like, well, I want to play video games now. Let me move the chair out of the way, push the couch to the side. All right, here we go.
Welcome back to Mr. Pessimism.
I know.
And the Fun Bunch.
He was so excited about... Wait, when we get to Stardew, though, wait till his demeanor changes. But here's what I was just thinking. Like, there's a conception that gamers are kind of like the fat trolls that are antisocial. If the VR experience and the Vive takes off, is that going to all change? Are the gamers going to be the athletic ones that, because they're going to be running around their room for 4 hours? Well,
what's crazy, and Joe Rogan brought this up, is that there's never going to be another opportunity to spar this hard without consequence. And gaining all the abilities of sparring. Yeah, like, you can spar in real time against a fake opponent and learn how to dodge as much as you could. So could you imagine kind of like, every once in a while you hear about this like amazing guitarist that just taught himself on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's going to be a ninja coming out of like, that's like Kazakhstan that just taught himself on VR.
That's like GT Academy, where the people that played Gran Turismo that were good enough actually got into the real cars and can compete in real world. You guys heard about that.
It's kind of like America's Army, too. Yeah. Remember that game? Yeah. I think people forget about this whole thing that happened. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Army made a game called America's Army for free. You could play it just to see who's good at video games so that they can recruit you to drive drones to kill people.
Yep.
That's all happened. And nobody ever breaks it up.
No, it's crazy.
Well, they stole the idea from The Last Starfighter. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah. Classic 80s that Bobby wants to get to. All right. What else we got?
Okay. I thought I'd just bring up something interesting that happened to me the other day. I watch a lot of Twitch, a few streamers that play Heroes of the Storm, and I came across this term that I'd never heard before. I'm learning something new every day watching so much Twitch. There's such a culture behind that, and it's its own little thing, right down to the words they use and the terminology. Mm-hmm. But the term stream sniping, I had never heard before.
Oh, really? You haven't?
Yeah, I never heard that before. Apparently, this is common knowledge, though. And it makes complete sense. Well, when you play a game...
Explain it, because she's the Twitch streamer.
Oh, yeah. Stream sniping, my definition of it would be someone who is watching you is an apparent troll. Well, basically, or not necessarily a troll, they could be competitive as well, depending on what game you did, or are playing, I'm sorry. For instance, my first stream ever, I was stream sniped. I was playing DayZ, and in DayZ, when you're in a server, you're in this giant map, and normally you just, by chance, come across somebody. If somebody is watching your stream, they'll know exactly where you are in that map. They'll be able to hunt you down and have that advantage of killing you, and therefore stream sniping you without... It's like the ultimate ninja.
What a great name for that, too.
What was that game that you couldn't see yourself? Nobody, you were invisible?
Screen cheat.
The screen cheat. It's similar to that. But
so impressed with Bobby right now.
The other stream sniping that I've heard of is if you're playing like a MOBA, they see when you queue up, and they queue up at the exact same time as you to try to get into the match that you're playing with.
And then what, though?
But you're playing with one of your streamers that you're interested in, you know, like...
In the context that I saw it, the guy who was streaming, he was... In a MOBA, you select your character, and when you select someone, you don't lock it in. That's called hovering. So he was hovering over a certain character, and somebody banned that character. And the dude called him out on it and started using this term stream sniping. He's like, yeah, you know, I was just hovering that character just to see if anyone was going to be stream sniping. And, of course, people, like, are aware of this who stream, so they do things to kind of prevent that. But Abathur in Heroes of the Storm is a character where your location, you're a very weak character, and you buff people from different parts of the map. So where you are very vulnerable. He's all about hiding in certain areas. So if you're watching someone stream, that's a bad character to be playing anyways.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think in real life or just life in general, every 100 people, there's going to be at least one motherfucking asshole, right? Mm-hmm. Like a really bad
out of 100, person. There's going to be 90.
That's your big deal. But we're going to say, let's just say one really bad motherfucker, right? Okay. Yeah, 40,000 people watching you. That's like...
Yeah. 400.
I was going to say 4,000. So I was right. 400 fucking jackasses. Yeah. 400 jackasses are watching you.
Well, and a lot of streamers do... There's two things that I've seen streamers do. They either move their... They move their picture over top of the map... So regular streamers can't see the map, but it also prevents people from doing it.
Yeah.
The other thing is they also put them on time delay. But the thing with time delay is you can't interact with your stream viewers because you're on like a minute or 2 minute delay. So you could type something
in. I'm all in favor. If you're a competitive player, you should have the time delay. And why isn't the chat time delayed as well? So
what do you mean?
It is delayed.
You're not going to type something in and not see it for 2 minutes. That's not how Twitch works. You type it in and it pops up. But then your streamer isn't going to see it for 2 minutes. And he might respond or she might
respond. If you're playing competitively, I think it's fine to play a time.
And when you watch, like, we would watch Smite competitive play, and they would always be on the 3 minute delay. Remember, they would pick their characters and then be like, okay, we'll be back. After the delay, you know, like, that's how it would work for those. So, It's just a fact of life. If you're streaming, there's going to be advantages to do it. You put yourself out there.
Yeah. And I will tell you, in the CSGO experience and stream sniping, especially it's a 5v5 competitive, and me being a female, if you're streaming, everybody's going to know that somebody's watching you because they actually list how many viewers are watching you on the scoreboard now. So if somebody's streaming, everyone else will know that they're on live TV broadcasting. And from there, they will actually dig through whomever they think is streaming, find their stream, load up their stream, and actually,
know where they're at.
Yeah,
and it
gives them an advantage. It's like GoldenEye when you peek over in the corner, you know exactly, it's like sharing one screen.
Mm-hmm. If a prominent streamer is streaming, that guy is hunted.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nonstop.
Well, Dragbear,
you are now the target. Yeah.
Dragbear happened to Dragbear
all the time.
We used to watch Dragbear's videos. Stream
Smite all the time.
Yeah, and Dragbear and Smite was a known character, and so when Dragbear would get on there, everybody would try to kill him because he was the streamer, was the guy that so if you could kill Dragbear, it would be like a feather in your cap, I killed Dragbear. As a streamer, do you put a delay on or do you just go with it?
I don't put a delay on for Counter-Strike Go. That's why I don't self-market my stream the way other people do. Other people will change their name to twitch.tv/whatever their tag is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I will actually completely change my name and hide the fact that I'm a streamer and everybody's playing the guessing game and wasting more time trying to figure out who is actually streaming. So my Twitch name is Smoochie, but my competitive mode Twitch streamer tag, I change it to Chia LaBeouf.
Oh, I see.
Chia
LaBeouf. I like it. now that's out there, so you can't use that anymore.
And it's mostly, it's for me.
But in CSGO, how much of an advantage can... Maybe
you get
they can
a
see their
huge advantage because
your tendencies.
Maybe? Well, because in Counter-Strike you have 2 bomb points to plant.
Yeah.
Right. And if the opposite team knows just which direction the bomb is going, then boom, that resets and rotates all the players to exactly where they need to be to kind of counter set up a counterattack. I'm sorry?
What's the standard delay?
The standard delay for Twitch, I think, is
it's like 10 seconds.
Average 15.
Oh, yeah. That's
and you
huge.
Can always,
okay.
Yeah. And you can yeah, always set up like that. A 2
no,
minute
no,
delay.
It's like, it's mm-hmm. Yeah. You can,
it works better in MOBAs with picks and bans. If you're going to watch someone stream, a 10, 15 second delay. Yeah. Still, that can be helpful if you're playing against them in real time. Mm-hmm. But
it's funny to watch the hyper competitive ones because they'll ask like, hey, are you delaying? What's your Twitch delay at and stuff like that? Like it, when you're up at that top level with the streamers up there, it's something that, especially in the MOBA scene, because if you can see the other person's map, that is huge for a MOBA. So if you can just on your other computer bring up the other guy's map, you know where all 5 of the guys
are. Of course.
Mm-hmm. So it's a huge deal.
Cool. Let's get into the next game.
I played a little Dragon Dogma. I believe Clown Lotion asked us to play this.
How many hours did you put in?
3 or 4.
Okay.
Probably. So I'm just getting into it a little bit. Bobby, look it up. See when this game came out, because I'm really disappointed with the graphics.
Well, it's a PlayStation game.
January 15th, 2016.
So maybe it had come out before and then it came out in January on stream, because it feels kind of like a PS3 graphics kind of style game. And, graphics aren't everything, and so I'm not going to complain about that too much, but it just brought me down a little bit when I was playing it. But the whole idea is you're this, like, hero, and these kind of...
You don't start off as a hero. You start off as a peasant.
You start off... Well,
which is the best RPGs in my
opinion. Yeah.
No, and I would agree with you, but that's not how this game worked. You're a peasant, you pick up a sword, a dragon flies down, killing everybody, knocks you down... And for some reason that I haven't figured out, the dragon doesn't kill you, decides to take your heart and eat it, and now you've got
this is where we differ.
The soul of a dragon? Now?
You're complaining about it? I love that. So I was like, oh, the only villager that would take up sword against an impossible task, you're the only one with courage in the whole village, of course this dragon's going to eat your heart to absorb some of that courage.
No.
Because this is the... What? What do you mean, no?
No. It felt like a bad 80s RPG.
Oh, my God.
Where it had... Like, I want there to be a reason to be a hero. Like, this game didn't give you a reason to be a hero.
You're inherently courageous. That's why.
No.
That's what makes a hero.
Okay. We will agree to disagree.
Wow.
The fact of the matter is, I thought the story was poop.
I thought it was fantastic.
Okay, but to get back to the game, they've got these things called pawns, and they come in out of the nether, and they're kind of autonomous humans.
Yeah.
They don't have soul. And they are, like, linked to a person, and they basically follow that person around. And,
I thought that was a cop-out.
Which it is, but whatever. So, basically, you are a group of people. You're playing as one, but he's got these other pawns.
Yeah, but why don't you just send 1 million pawns, and we'll go kill that dragon right now?
Because in this world, they don't know how these pawns spawn. And certain people can call these pawns, and certain people can't. And you happen to be one of these people that can't. Like I said, the story is just ridiculous. Isn't it lame?
I like the story.
Yeah, it's...
That was pretty good.
But the combat was fun. I was enjoying it. One of the things... Amelia and I know this term, conning, from EverQuest. Oh,
yeah.
Do you guys, Chi or Bobby, do you know conning? The conning phrase conning? Or just con...
Like a con artist?
No.
No.
Like Matthew McConaughey?
So basically... If you're
and
if
Bobby
you're,
with the biggest joke of the night. Right.
So you're playing WoW. Everybody's played WoW here. You look, you click on an enemy, it shows their level. And it shows whether they're elite, whether they're normal, whether they're
Are they colored too?
They had the dragon around the outside, remember? And all it showed the level. And then
was their names color would be faded out in gray if they level. Were like
Yeah, I think there was. There was a color.
Well, in EverQuest there was color levels. Green was gray was Don't even bother.
Yeah, they're too low level.
Green was easy.
Easy.
And you're not going to get much out of it. Even was black.
Yeah, that's right.
Was the same as you.
Yep.
And then, yellow. Which you couldn't do. EverQuest is so hard.
Yeah, fuck that game.
Yellow was a step above you. You should definitely bring a friend. And red was stay away from this.
So to get back to the point here. So the concept of conning in RPG is important. You don't want to go up against a level 40 guy if you're level 5. You want to know before you start the fight. In the real world, I could look across the bar and see the dude with the giant muscles and say, I probably shouldn't punch that dude in the face. He's got
talking
giant
about
muscles.
Me.
Right.
But, you know, in the virtual world, you need kind of assistance to say, okay, I see a dragon, but he's only a level 12 dragon and I'm level 15, so I can take him. You know what I mean? Like, this game didn't have that. So I went down into a well and fought these, like, lizard people, and they took turns raping my ass. These lizard people took turns raping my ass because I had no idea what level they were until they started beating my face in. So that was one of my complaints about this game. There was no conning in this game.
Gotcha. I feel, but you played a lot more than I did. I only played maybe an hour. That maybe you're just supposed to kind of get a feel for it because the first things you're fighting are little imps and shit like that, and they're smaller than you.
Yeah,
and then you fight
goblins. They're goblins.
Yeah, and then you fight. I gotta say, this game was a lot more ambitious than its budget allowed it to be. Well,
is it a Capcom? Who made this game?
Yeah, I want to say Capcom, and I think we know that Capcom's in disarray.
Yeah,
it was Capcom, developer and publisher.
Okay, yeah, and I thought it was I'm not complaining about this game. I thought overall this game was fun and something worthwhile, and I didn't feel like my time was wasted. But at the end of the day, I felt like there was others that were doing it better than me. You know what I mean? No. Better than this.
Yeah.
There were.
I will say that. But what I did... So the combat was fun. I got to say, they had this climbing on the back of
enemies. That was cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
The graphics are all over the place. You're fucking, what is it called when two things go through each other?
Collision.
No, but they go through it. There's a lack of collision.
Lack of collision, yeah.
Lack of collision. You're climbing the back of this fucking giant thing. You're stabbing it in the back, but your arms are going through it. So I feel like this game was very ambitious for what it was going for. Way beyond this budget, but I think they pulled it off.
They did was having things. Fun. Yeah, that's the end of the day. At the end of the day, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking I could be playing something else at the time. So
I don't know if I'm going to continue this, only because I didn't need those other characters there. Yeah. I would have rather it be a solo story. I really liked me being a fisherman and picked up the sword and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And a simple story. Oh, I'm a fucking villager. Dragon shows up, kills up all my friends. It's time to go do something.
Oh my god. I can't even get into anything.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's what I said.
I'm not like big into the fantasy lore type of thing. I like the sci-fi stuff a little bit more. But as soon as like I see, like I just take one look at something like that, I'm like, I know what this is about. I mean, there's a narrative shorthand by now where it's just like, okay, villager, and you grow more powerful. I mean, it's.
Bobby, so you're the only one that took an offensive stance against this dragon, right? The dragon recognizes you instead of killing you.
I know,
you.
But you lost me a dragon. I'm just like, all right, dragon, okay.
Well, the name is Dragon.
Hey, you lost me a podcast. How about you fucking get out of here?
I'm more interested in learning about the combat style in Dragon's Dogma.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if that dragon was a dinosaur.
Yeah. Then you got something.
The T-Rex reaches down with his tiny little arms.
Yeah. In Dragon's Dogma, you know, it starts out with the word dragon. Looking at the art style, you know, I see... You know, for me, it instantly references to Dragon Age. And I love at least the first Dragon Age game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know they kind of fell short with the sequels. But how is the playstyle of Dragon's Dogma compared to, let's say, any other Dragon series? Like the Dragon Age series.
Dragon Age is more like, isn't it more...
You could pause it and...
Yeah, you could pause it. It's more strategic. Action. This is like action RPG.
Yeah. I played like the guy with the two daggers, but you could also use a bow. And it's a lot of like, you know, select.
Was it like a Gauntlet Legends type of action?
No. Way different. More like.
What would be a good equivalent? I was pushing the buttons a lot.
Yeah. It's an action RPG. So we're talking. Kind of like a Zelda game.
Yeah. You had like a light attack and a heavy attack, and you could get certain abilities where you could do like an AAB sort of style and do certain combos with it, or an A pause for a second.
You have a party of four, and the way you control them is just, it's funny because when they come into your party, they ask you some questions and then they know that person's personality. Kind of like, would this person save somebody over saving themselves? And, will this person attack and go all in or pull back? Okay. And the character that I made that for Sam, it looks just like her.
Awesome.
Baby, did you walk in and just say, that looks just like me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But you made it manly, which sucks.
Kind of manly, baby.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 32% gay.
Okay, that's all right.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, to come out of it. How much is Dragon's Dogma right now?
$29.99.
Okay, I would not pay $30 for it right now. But if you got it for $15, I would say worth it, right? Right,
cool.
Right, Amelia?
Yeah, for
$15?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's one of these things where, like, I'm not sure if I'm going back, but I want to go back. But
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
That means you're not going back.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten back to Civ 5, and you guys said I was going to go down the rabbit hole on that one.
Next time you play, you go down the rabbit
hole. I know, probably. All right, what else we got?
King Arthur's Gold. Who's been playing this?
So this comes with a caveat. I'm going to come back next week with a real review. I only played it for 5 or 10 minutes. It's very... what is this game? There's only 3 classes.
What kind of game is it, though?
It's pixely. Okay, think about Terraria, if it was multiplayer, and Versus.
Okay.
So... there's a group of these guys and there's a group of those guys and they each got a mound of dirt and they just go at each other and capture a flag. So if you can get through these other guys' mound of dirt and get the flag and bring that, you get a point for your team.
Okay.
Okay. So you have archers, knights, and builders. Builders build the dirt into shit that's not dirtish, and the knights are tanky and the archers kill people. Pretty much is what's going on.
Okay.
It's very fast paced. I know that there's way, way, way more tech in it than I'm giving it because I only played 5-10 minutes of it. I know it gets way deeper, but from what I initially saw, I was like, what am I doing? I was like, this just looks like people clashing into each other until one side overrides the other. Now, things are obviously happening that I don't understand why one team got overrun and the other didn't, right? Builders are probably doing things.
Gotcha.
Archers are probably doing things. I'm just trying to cut people down and it's not working out. But yeah, you can have catapults and shit.
How many different people on each side?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It looked like 8, maybe 10. There's different servers. There's some that go 20 plus. Some were like 18. But it's just like a side scrolling.
And then you're trying to capture as many ones as you can?
Yeah, flags.
Flag. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like a versus Terraria. If you love Terraria, you think you're really good at that, you want to challenge other people, I would play this. Special shout out to Jens, who has 450 hours in
fucking Jesus game. Christ.
Wow.
And so there must be something to it, or Jens is insane. So
it looks cool.
It doesn't look that bad. No.
It looks not like a game that I would like, but I could see other people liking it.
See, I never saw boats like that. I never saw boats with catapults on it for sure. So I only played like one or two games.
So you'll play more and give us a...
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to play this more. This is not a just review.
Okay, fair enough.
And I think, Chi, you got to get out of here?
Yeah, in about 5 to 10 minutes here. I'm really excited to at least discuss Blood and Bacon.
Yeah, let's do that.
And also Stardew Valley, because I've also experienced that game as well.
All right, cool. What do you want to talk?
So, Blood and Bacon, you explain it.
Okay, so Blood and Bacon, honestly, it
looks horrible.
Graphically, I felt like I was thrown into the past. It was a hilarious start. When you go in, it's a first person, you have a gun in your hand, very almost Doom-like graphics to me, yeah. Maybe not that classic. And then the first thing you see is this farmer just strung against the wall. And my first reaction, gun in hand, zombie-looking person in my face, is just shooting him. But beyond that, you speak to him and you find out that things are, there are creatures outside and you have to kill them. And when you go outside, it's almost to me like it's one of those survival games where it's, you get a flood of enemies and then you have to kill them and then a new wave starts. And you upgrade your weapons after so many stages. It's a fun, quick shooter experience game, I feel like. But it was, there were so many, to me, I didn't get very far because things just kept breaking on me. And I did get explored.
Like what?
like the fact that I couldn't play co-op. I tried to play with you guys. That didn't work out.
I think it's a two-player co-op maximum. I invited her the same way I invited somebody else. And it didn't work out, so.
Yeah. And then when I tried playing co-op myself, it gave me this, like, grayed out mummy looking body next to me that just did nothing. And then the game wouldn't start because they're like, you want to play co-op, but no one's actually playing co-op with you. Why are you even trying to play this game? You should just stop. Wow. Like, that was one of my experiences. Another bug was I went out there, I cleared a wave, and the second wave wouldn't start. So
you have to talk to the
farmer. I have to talk to the farmer again
every time.
Oh, I guess I just kept on shooting
it's
at him.
It's shitty too, because every time you talk to the stupid farmer, you got to re-equip all your weapons. And it's terrible.
And then not only that, he has the worst voiceover I've ever heard. Voiceover. Here, I'm not sure.
Did you get
why.
To the boss?
No, the I did not.
Boss? Okay, so the boss has a peculiar voice that sounds a lot like the farmer.
Eerily.
So. Oh, really? Yeah.
And I really think that the farmer and the boss probably sound just like the developer. Like, if I was going to throw it out there, I'm pretty sure it's all
that
one guy.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I did not get very far in the game. Because for me, the experience, and I actually made a Snapchat about it. Maybe you guys will post it. But basically, I'm a woman that wakes up in a barn and there is a creepy farmer hovering over me. So my instant
reaction. He stabbed through the wall with a pitchfork.
Well, maybe I was putting up a fight before I passed out. And my instant reaction is to start shooting him in the dick.
Like you do.
And after I shot him in the dick a couple times.
How many times,
Chi?
The
pistols have unlimited bullets, so there's no counting.
Unlimited dick shots?
Okay. Anyways, you talk to him again. He gets angry, and he drops a couple grenades out of I don't know where. The grenade lands on me, and I think I turn into a zombie because I start making these weird, you know, munching Doritos. Yeah, it sounds like I'm eating out of a bag of Doritos, and I'm right-clicking on him, and I just slowly bleed and die. And yeah. It's just like a very horrible serial killer experience. And anyways, you lie in this blooded pool and continue to eat Dorito chips because all you hear is just, you know, let's do it. Yeah. You know, the whole, that's all you hear. Like when you die, that's all you hear. It's awful. Stop it. Okay. Just like this game. Very awful. And you should stop playing it before you even start. I'm just kidding.
Is it worth 99 cents?
Because oh, it is only 99 cents. Yes.
I bought you a game. I bought him a copy.
Yeah, bought me a game. Yeah,
I bought many copies of this game. It's 99 cents. So I was looking at the reviews. What is it, Bobby? Can you hover
overwhelmingly over positive? But let's go back. I didn't get a copy.
Yeah,
well,
no. You're an asshole. What's up
with that? You can afford your own.
Well, yeah. So 600 reviews, and it's overwhelmingly positive. You don't see this very often on a 99-cent game. So I was ready to get blown away, and I was not blown away. No. But it's definitely worth 99 cents. Don't
the,
get me
the
wrong.
Reviews are the best. I don't know if you've seen the reviews. The reviews are like, Jim Sterling reviews this game. Jim Sterling. they don't take themselves seriously, which is nice.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one guy made this game, and he's just trying to make some money. It's cool, man. Like, buy the game. It's fun for a little bit, especially if you can play with one other person. My one big complaint, the glaring thing is, it's very slow to start. The first six levels are the tutorial, I would say. And then the seventh level kills you eight times. Like, there's no flow. Ramp. The ramp is very skewed. And then you kill that boss. Then you got two super easy levels you've never seen. Like, way too easy. And then it just hockey pucks right up to the top again.
Okay.
So there's no curvature of difficulty. Besides that, I mean, it's fun for what it is. 99 cent game. Let's move on.
Worst graphics you've seen in a while, though, right? I would rather see graphics for the Gungeon.
But you know,
when it's made by one guy, can't really expect all that much.
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like a farmer.
All right, Stardew Valley. Give me the breakdown.
Well, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I initially started playing the game. And I mean, for me, this is such a great game because it's really casual and it's what I play in between rounds of queuing up for Heroes of the Storm. Mm-hmm. So it's perfect for that. It's something I can just pause and whenever I need to and go back to it. I really like this game. I've had a couple people buy it because they see me playing it so much and they're just like, I don't get it. And I'm like,
that would be me too.
You know, a lot of people don't, they go into a game with all these preconceived notions and they expect certain things of a game, and this is not that game. It is extremely casual. But, Chi, you're the only other person here who's played this game. What's your take on it?
Absolutely. Now, when I purchased Stardew Valley, it was going to be an instant purchase as soon as I found out about it. I am actually a hardcore Harvest Moon fanatic.
Okay.
So I've been playing farming simulators. It was actually one of my first original Nintendo games I've ever played.
Really?
And beaten. Probably one of the first games I've ever actually beaten.
Did you play Farmville?
Lifetime. That's dirty casual.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Anyways, Harvest Moon, have you played any farming simulators before Stardew Valley?
That's hey guys, Sim Farm. I was playing this fucking mobile game and they wanted money and I think they're bad people. They still play that game.
Hey. Yeah. I got no response other than that.
Yeah, so no, Stardew Valley, I played maybe the first couple hours of it, and, you know, it had all the same elements of any previous farming simulators that I played. The only thing is that I feel like you didn't really have to work for a lot of things that previous farming simulators did. Like, you started off with...
Too easy, would you say?
Definitely. Well, I think all farming simulators are too easy.
Yeah.
But this one here, I feel like they could have put taken away some certain elements, and so that way you would have to. Why am I always like, why can't I play the game that makes me work my ass off and like, you know, yeah, like kicks my ass?
But it's like, really Stardew seems Valley, that you really enjoy challenges.
I do. I really do. Yeah. And then
this is a hardcore mode.
Have you played Devil's Daggers yet? Devil Daggers?
No, I haven't.
It's $5. You need to buy it.
Okay. And, just do a family share. Yeah,
play it off of my. No.
No, you're borrowing it from someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth the $5. They deserve the money.
That's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, for any farming sim game, if I could sum it up in like a very neat little package, it's a game where you start off with a brand new farm. You kind of have to, make it from dirt to diamond, turn it from dirt to diamonds. Mm-hmm. You develop your life in this village. So you get to learn the people in the village. You uncover certain stories. Time goes by. So, you know, and you basically maximize your farm. And you
For me, not your.
And it's a sim game. And so you get to mingle.
You get a husband
with all the
or a wife too, right?
Yeah. And can I tell you my goal with every single farming game that I play? Like my goal is to, of course, like try to optimize how much money I can earn the first year.
Okay.
And then woo all the boys to 10 hearts. like everybody has a heart meter.
Okay.
And you're supposed to woo them until they, you know, you want to marry them.
Bobby says parsnips is where it's at.
Parsnips, yeah. Right?
I've heard
and it's,
oh, no,
it's
no.
A
corn,
great, it's
corn
a
is
great
big.
Stats
fall
game
in summer,
because,
you want to go corn.
Because you really have to learn the different elements of the game to maximize. It's all about profit optimization, really.
I'm having a lot of trouble getting past three or four hearts with one of the girls. And it's the funniest thing, because you give them
like
gifts.
Real life. Yeah.
I never have that issue.
Yeah.
But you all give them gifts and they like you more, especially if it's on their birthday.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'll be out.
So, these girls are shooting you down, Bobby.
But they like certain things, and you got to figure out what those are. So, you know, you can look it up. But it's the creepiest thing, because I'll be out there. It's like 6:30 in the morning. I'm standing there with, like, an amethyst over my head, just right outside her door, waiting for her to walk out. As soon as she walks out, I'm like, this is for you.
Right.
She's like, oh, great. Thank you.
And it's so funny how a lot of how you... It's so funny of how a lot of what you do in that game actually reflects maybe who you are in person. Because for me, I would just woo all the boys to 10 hearts, decide I didn't want to marry them, and just live alone, baller status in my farm. So
it's literally the real world. She's getting 10 hearts across the board.
Bobby
decided,
can't get one girl
to
3 hearts.
To live alone. Bobby can't get more than 3 hearts on anybody.
So what we learned here today is Stardew Valley is the greatest annihilist to real
apparently
life.
Apparently, it's a look.
You know what's completely
the
fucked up about this situation is somehow I got the wizard at 4 hearts. I don't know how that happened.
Even more
true. Apparently, I've been sending some mixed signals to him, but I got to let him know that that's off the table.
Bobby and the wizard.
You're just his type.
Yeah. The wizard can make himself look like a hot chick.
Yeah. For you.
Yeah.
But she makes a good point. I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago about the difficulty thing. And that's a lot of the thing. That's the big thing that people either don't like about this or struggle with this in the game, is that there's no, you know, most games that you play, the expectation, most games like this, like say Game Dev Tycoon, the expectation level rises. So each time you're having to make more and more money or do more and more, and you're kind of treading water, just staying right above that level of expectation. In this game, there is no expectation. Every single day, you could just go out and pick flowers and then go back home and go back to bed and just do that. And if that's what you want,
there's no losing.
Exhilarating.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So it's basically like a real life simulator on the farm. Mm. Yeah. So it's great. I love
3
it.
3-star girls.
I recommend it to.
Boys,
I recommend it to heart. Anybody who just has very little farming simulator experience, because I think it's an all-in-one package. Stardew Valley really does do it well, considering all the predecessors before it. And it's one casual but challenging enough actual game that might appeal to a more mass population versus, whereas me and Bobby, we're very different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, and I love these Harvest Moon games because I was like, ew, I love being on the farm and I got chickens and I got cows. Whereas Bobby is probably just more entertained by the ability to really, like you said, the freedom and flexibility to do what you want in the game, you know, at any time of the day. So that's cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
Cool.
So we got to say goodbye to Chi. yes. For this podcast, but hopefully she'll be on one soon. And so say goodbye, Chi.
Goodbye, all. It was great being a part of this podcast, and I look forward to coming back and participating again. Guys, thanks so much for having me in, and you will hear from me soon.
Well, thank God she's gone, right? Thank God. Woo! No, I'm kidding. She's a lot of fun to have around. It's good to have a female perspective on somebody who plays games a lot.
Yeah, just feedback. Let us know what segments you like. Let us know what you know what you like and what you didn't like. We are always open for listener feedback. You can hit us up on the DL Gaming Steam page, or you can talk to each one of us individually if you want to on Steam. We're, we are so open to getting your guys' feedback. We want to make the best show possible for you guys.
If somehow you're not on our Steam group, we're on Steam, just DL Gaming.
DLGaming.net?
DLGaming.net will take you to our Steam group. You could just join from there. I think our goal as being a podcaster or a podcast listener is I want to, any way you can support us, I want to make it absolutely free and things that you would do anyway. So it's pretty cool that you could just go to Steam and join our group, and you can go to Amazon and just, we just fix our links. Yeah,
Bobby? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the yeah. links should be working now. So if you go to our website, dlgaming.net, the links for Amazon and G2A, unfortunately, we don't have a code to get you 3% off at G2A, but you can still click through our link there and support us that way.
Yeah. So once you do that once, you join our, Legion or whatever it's called, and every purchase goes towards our credit. So it's things that you'd be doing anyway. So why not just do it and help us out? So anyway.
I wanted to bring up, she didn't bring it up because she had to leave. She streams Monday, Wednesday, Friday for most weeks, 7 to 9. And her Twitch stream name is Smoochy. It's S-M-O-O-X-C-H-I. So if you want to hit her up, you can see her play.
And I think we locked down plans for this coming Friday too. We'll be over at her place playing some games. So
where the plan is right now is to do Friday night on her normal stream time. I think all of us. So if you are curious to see what we look like, you might be able to see us coming up here.
Get your lotion ready.
Yeah,
and or dildos.
Yeah, because we look like three male models who also happen to play PC games.
Yeah.
It's really weird
how. And huge tits.
Yeah.
So just picture that.
Yeah. Male model with huge tits that plays PC games. So.
That's us.
Let's talk. We got one more game on our list.
Yeah. Just wanted to quickly re-mention. We covered this a long time ago, but the Yogg. Yogg is very interesting game.
Spell it so for people.
The Y-A-W-H-G. It's not your traditional game by any means. It's a lot more like a board game where chance has more than skill. There's no skill really involved. But you can play up to four players. It's a party game and it's more story driven. And it's random. It's almost like a roguelike in that way. So you just play it and these random things happen to your character. There's no skill involved. It's either yes or no, that or this.
Maybe there's skill involved, but it's not like Twitch skill. It's like you have three choices. Which choice do you want?
It's always two.
Or two choices.
And I think the outcome is random.
Okay.
But I think maybe one might be loaded more than the other.
It is kind of cool with the pass the controller mechanic.
Yeah.
You play with one controller, and so four people can sit there with one controller, and a guy will make his choice, and then you hand the controller to the next guy, and he makes his choice.
The reason I want to bring this up is if there's some sort of like dry party situation where you have four people there, four or more, and it's just like the conversation's not that good. I know it's weird to bring up video games, but this is one where the music's great. It might draw people's attention. I introduced Sam into it, and you thought it was refreshing, kind of cool.
I did. It's short and sweet, and I really enjoyed the music. It's really it's like soothing and creepy at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm expecting,
like the game is.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And I'm expecting the Yogg to be like this creepy paranormal thing.
Yeah. But don't. Shh.
And you know, it's a nice surprise. The ending is amazing and I'd like to play again, honestly. I want to hear another story.
And you're done in about 10 minutes, I would say. The entire game. Four players can play in 10 minutes, so it's very interesting.
I didn't think the replayability was that high, but it's fun. One, two, three times.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then it kind of gets repetitive.
Like the other day, it was kind of a risk for me, but I felt like the conversation was taking a drag at my... There was just two couples at the get-together, and I was like, fuck it. We're going to go play Rocket League. Me and the guy, I grabbed him. I was like, let's go play. And it worked out because fucking Rocket League, even for somebody that's not playing games, like right away, well, this is fucking fun, right? So I know it's a risk, but if you have something going on, it's not that fun. The Yogg is really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
And how much is this right now, Bobby?
Let's see. The Yogg is, I want to say $10, but I will tell you in one moment. $10. Look at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to wait for it to be on sale. And don't play it. Just wait for the right moment.
Yeah, this isn't a game you play by yourself at all.
At all.
I pulled this out a few times when I had people over. Usually one or two, maybe three games, and then it kind of loses its charm. But
well, the nice thing about the Yogg is it works perfectly for non-gamers because there's literally... there's no Twitch action. It's literally you given a choice and you select something.
Your choice of nine things.
Yep.
And each one of those gives you a choice of two things.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Like, your parents could play this game. Because
absolutely.
They could sit there for 15 seconds and make a choice.
I especially liked it because it made me look like Mother Teresa, apparently.
Oh.
And I was like, maybe that's who I really am.
She got every favorable role possible. She saved the whole town. So, of course, she's going to love it.
Yeah.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure game. And we did bring this up, like 2 years ago when we initially played it. And I think I brought it up since then once or twice. But what I compared it to when we initially talked about it was that thing that I don't know the name of, but it's like a paper device that you make when you're like in fifth grade and you write all the stuff on it. And then you say, like, you give a number and then you move your hands in it a couple times and you say, okay, you're going to marry this guy and you're going to drive this car and you're going to
2, 4, 6, 8.
Yeah.
Who do you
Looks like a little like, mate with. Flower looking.
Yeah. It looks like a little paper about? Flower did, with things written on it. If you've seen the TV show Community, they have one at the very beginning of that intro that has all the actors' names on it. But it's kind of like that, where you make decisions throughout the game, and then at the very end, you get your storyline. Like, based on the decisions that you made, this is who you are and what happens to you. So, yeah, it's fun. It's great for a few rounds, liven up a party.
Super quickly, I played one more game I forgot to mention. I played Survive the Ride Over Here when she is driving. Holy shit, balls.
Excuse me?
Holy shit.
That's a game?
I was so scared.
It's
next time we're going to take a rocket ship with no helmets, and hopefully it'll be better than that.
I get
you're exaggerating.
Nah, it wasn't. It's pretty.
she's an Asian.
She's an Asian woman, she said that too. She's like, I'm an Asian woman driver.
Woo! You made her feel so guilty. She said, next time you can drive.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
In her car, you're a jerk. Is what it is. You're a jerk.
I'm a good driver.
I didn't feel scared at any point.
No, I'm not scared. Amelia was not a good driver.
Wow,
I'm a good driver.
All right, moving on.
You guys are going to hear an argument in 15 minutes? Well, I am. All right, what else are we talking about?
Last thing we got on the docket today is a little esports. Right now, Heroes of the Dorm is going on. That's going to wrap up actually today, which is Sunday. So by the time this is posted, you won't be part of it. But I just wanted to call attention to the UI and the casting that they're doing with this. Chad, you look like you have something to say.
I just want to clarify for people that might have listened for the first time this week. Heroes of the Dorm is an esports for Heroes of the Storm. So,
it's a specific version of it where they have college teams consisting of college students from each college playing in a large tournament, a bracket.
Oh, because they sleep in dorms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. It's a pun.
I was going to slap you.
It's a pun. But they play each other, and the winners get a free scholarship. So it's a cool thing. And the thing about this is they put it on TV. They put it on ESPN. This is straight up on TV. It's actually on TV and not on Twitch. At least the grand finals and the Heroic Four were.
Wow.
And then they put it on Twitch afterwards. But because they're doing this, because this is something that somebody could catch while they're flipping through channels on a old school TV with a remote, you know, like they used to do back in the day, they've really dumbed down the UI and the casting. And some people get upset about this. I'm like, well, obviously they're going towards this specific demographic. They have to do this. But it's so weird to watch it in this way. I'm used to watching Heroes of the Storm competitive play just, you know, like it is, like Dota 2 on Twitch with the commentators and the announcers and the play-by-play.
We'd like to welcome you back. We have 10 college kids playing video games. They seem to be having a lot of good time right here. Wow. Don't they look intense, Tim?
It's not... I mean, they use the same commentators that they do for the other competitions, but they've definitely geared it towards this audience. Like, they explain things just...
Like the laning phase, they go through what a laning phase is instead of
just... What they're playing on is computers.
I'm not sure.
These things are connected to the internet.
It almost is that bad. Like, they're explaining how, like, if you get more XP by killing minions, then the XP translates into levels, and the levels make you more powerful. And I'm like, holy shit, what is this? You know, it's pretty ridiculous.
Wow. It's a lot like life insurance, Bobby. What well, to you, Tom.
Didn't Dota 2, when they did the international, they have a specific stream for new players or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. They should do... So there's no Twitch.
But you can't do that on TV. So there's one stream. So
they should have a Twitch stream for the people that care about these tournaments.
But they're getting way more money on TV.
Of course. And that's how they pay for fucking people to go to college.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if they're hoping like some of the cheap colleges win. I think last year Berkeley won. That's not a cheap degree from that place. So.
Wait. That's UC Berkeley, though. That's a state college. So if they were in state, it could be relatively cheap.
Berkeley paid for my friend to travel all of South America, and he didn't pay Berkeley anything. Hmm. So I think if you're
Berkeley's
super
got
smart,
money.
Yeah, if you're super smart and you know what you're doing, like you can work the system.
We call it Berkeley because we live in California, but most everywhere else calls it Cal. This is Cal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cal State Berkeley is the Bears. Yeah. Cal Bears. Yeah. That's
shut up, Chad. Nobody cares.
Well, because if you watch college
Chad.
Sports, okay,
nobody cares.
I'm gonna shut up now. Right. What else we got?
Well, I think we're all going to shut up now because we're at the end of the show.
Yay, finally. It's a really long episode. There's a very small chance that there will be an interview at the end of this. It's either going to be me interviewing Team Tom or Chi interviewing one of us. We've talked about it kind of briefly. We're probably going to push this to next week. This is a long episode.
Well, good thing you brought it up then.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's see.
It's called a lead. Maybe we're teasing what's coming up in the coming weeks,
yeah,
Bobby. And until then,
so it's
for
a mystery.
Chad, Bobby, and myself, and Sam, titties.
And Chi. Give another titties.
Chi-chis. Chi-chis for Chi.